Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your time. As you mentioned, my name is Jules Cacho, and I'm working at Argo National Lab with Dr. Christina Negri's group. And we are interested in integrating perennial biomass crops in commodity crop production to enhance the sustainability of the system. Particularly, we're looking into preventing resources like excess nutrient from getting into the water and making use of it, hoping that we can have economic and environmental value. So allow me to discuss quickly the motivation of this study. I think we are all aware of the multiple challenges that we'll be facing in the next decades. Of course, in a global scale, we need to maximize production in order to meet caloric future needs of future population. And according to the World Resources Institute, in order to meet the food needs of the future population by 2050, we need to increase our current or food production by 70% of the current rate. And of course, we have sustainability constraints as far as the use of biofuels to mitigate climate change. That biofuel should not displace grasslands, forest lands, and also that it should be coming from lignocellulosic and non-food materials, and then it should have at least 60% greenhouse gas threshold. And of course, we are aware that of the concerns of agricultural activities on the environment, particularly water quality. As you may have known, agricultural fields in the U.S. Midwest have been associated with the hypoxic condition in the Gulf of Mexico. So having all these challenges, I think moving forward, if we could have more efficient agricultural systems that maximizes the inputs, minimizes environmental footprint, I think that would be better. And we are trying to see if integrating perennial bioenergy crops could really increase the efficiency of the system. So we believe that one of the things we can do to make agricultural systems resilient and sustainable is to have a more diverse system at the subfield scale. If we can identify marginal areas, which are areas that are either low in yield or that are susceptible to environmental degradation, and then plant them with crops that are suited for these conditions and rely on nutrients that are there, we will not be applying. So take sample for this plot at the top left corner. This is an example of the yield of the corn. We can see that it's highly diverse as far as yield. We can see the green as the high yielding areas, while the red as the low yielding areas. And if you compare that to soil water nitrate concentration, usually these low yielding areas are also areas where the losses of nitrate are high. So we have technologies that could identify these areas. And then if we could plant in these areas bioenergy crops that have higher water and nutrient efficiencies, they have deeper rooting system, and then more resilient to suboptimal growing conditions without having to add fertilizer, I think it would be a great scenario. So the main question we are trying to ask is, or answer, is can this system really give us benefits as far as socioeconomic and then environmental? And then to answer that question, we conducted a field study in East Central Illinois. Our study site is a 6.5 hectare continuous corn, which is part of the Indian Creek watershed. The Indian Creek watershed is tributary to Vermilion River watershed, which drains to Illinois River, a nitrate impaired river, and then to Mississippi River, and we know that Mississippi River drains to the Gulf of Mexico. So we did site characterization and analysis. We characterized our soil, hydrology, intra-field variability, and then water quality. And I have mentioned that the lower crop yield areas correspond to areas of high nitrate losses. So with this information, we use this to identify ideal locations where we can put bioenergy crop, particularly willow, to have maximum effect in reducing nitrate and having to intercept the bulk of the surface runoff. So this is our field monitoring infrastructure and data collection. We collected vegetation for willows. We got corn yield from the farmer. We used geoprobe drilling system for our soil sampling. And then we use Rizon for the unsaturated zone. Then we have piezometric wells for our groundwater collection. This plot shows the configuration of our soil water collection system. The dark black colored dots represent the points where we collected at least 6 to 7 times a year for the soil water. So here is the results for our biomass for willow, as shown in the right top corner. We have the left vertical axis shows us the nitrogen uptake, while the right shows us the biomass produced for willow or corn yield for corn. And then the horizontal axis shows the locations. We have the north plus to the left and the south plus to the right. So this is just the first harvest cycle. If you have willows, at least for industrial application, it has 21 years rotation. And then the recommendation to have sustain productivity is to harvest every 3 years. So you have 6 to 7 harvest cycles for the entire rotation. So this data is just for the first harvest cycle and the second year. And I have to mention that the willows are not fertilized, but the corn, regardless of the location, whether it's in north or south, it's still business as usual. So we don't have local numbers for willow in the U.S. Midwest, particularly in Illinois. But when we compare our data to Thule, New York, from State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry, which has been doing extensive research for willow for bioenergy, we see that our number is comparable for unfertilized monoculture willow per unit area. And then we see that by putting willow on the marginal area, we recovered 47 kilogram hectare nitrogen per hectare per year for the buffer area, and then for the contour strip we have 37 kilogram per hectare per year. So we also monitored soil quality. We collected multiple macronutrients and micronutrients, but for the sake of time I'm just presenting two. At the top you can see the organic matter, and then at the bottom we have total nitrogen. The horizontal axis refers to the year and the location. We have the dark colored bars are for the northern plots, and then the light colored bars are for the southern plots, and to the left, where's the cursor, is for the topsoil, 0 to 6 inches, and then the SS or the subsoil is 6 inches to up to 3 feet. So we didn't see any significant differences between the two crops as far as organic matter content, but we see an interesting trend on the subsoil as far as organic matter content, which is indicating that subsoil carbon sequestration might be happening. We will see if this is really the case as we'll have more data this year and for the two succeeding years. And then we also didn't see any significant differences on the total nitrogen, indicating that when we replace corn in marginal areas by willows, the consumption of the total nitrogen reserves is comparable. And then we are really interested in how will the willows reduce the nitrogen leach yield. So this is a heat map of soil water nitrate concentration. As it evolves during the growing season every year from 2011 to 2016. As you can see at the top, before the willows are there, the soil water nitrate concentration is inherently high, not just the beginning, but towards the end of summer. But 1 year after the establishment of Wello in 2014, we can see an improvement in the water quality. And we did a statistical analysis. We see that in 2015 and 2016, we have significant differences as far as the reduction of soil water nitrate under Wello relative to corn. So, as I've said, this is still an ongoing study, but so far we see that it could increase the nitrogen efficiency of the whole system. It produces biomass that is comparable to a monoculture system per unit area. And then it does not seem to have negative impact on the soil nutrient reserves, has sub-soil carbon sequestration potential. And then most importantly, it improves soil water nitrate or soil water quality, yes. And what's next? Of course, we will continue to monitor parameters that we've been measuring and then determine if the subsoil carbon sequestration is really there, conduct nitrogen balance to see if the reduction is by just denitrification or something else, evaluate impacts on biodiversity and also on the soil microbial community, design a similar system for tile drain systems. We can set up maybe a saturated bioenergy buffer, replacing natural vegetation with bioenergy crops, such that the nitrogen saturation issue, I think, will be addressed. And then our boss is currently working with USDA and RCS to make this system as one of the standard practices for soil and water conservation. Thank you.